now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and we have another volume of secrets for you today. So welcome to Power of Prophecy. There is prophetic power in the Word of God, and not one prophecy in the Bible has ever failed to come to pass. You know, a lot of people years ago wrote me about a man named Edgar Casey. Evidently, Casey was a New Age prophet, and he was able supposedly to, when doctors fail in their diagnosis, was able to diagnose people's medical condition. He would say, yes, you've got cancer, you've got diabetes, and so forth, with what they said was just amazing accuracy. And he made many prophecies, this Edgar Casey. And by the way, there is an Edgar Casey Foundation even today promoting his works. He's long ago gone to his reward, whichever way that is. But Mr. Casey, they told me, they said, just you watch, Tex. By the year 2000, it will be proven that he was a true prophet, even if he was a New Ager. You're wrong about Edgar Casey, Tex. They said to me that Edgar Casey had prophesied that the entire state of California would fall off into the Pacific Ocean by the year 2000. Just you watch and see. Well, I believe if I'm somehow my head isn't too far into the sand, it's the year 2007 now, and California is clicking along. I'll admit California's in a lot of trouble with Mr. Schwarzenegger and all of the crazies and the sinfulness going on in San Francisco and L.A. and things like that, but it hasn't fallen off into the Pacific Ocean yet. So Casey was proven a false prophet. Hey, they stoned people like that back in the Old Testament days. But Edgar Casey is somewhere else today, and we don't stone them now, do we? So, okay. But I just wanted to let you know that the Bible is always correct. Fantastic truths in the Bible. Well, we're going to talk about some secrets today. This is volume 135. And really, it's quite exciting, some of the things we're going to cover. Might have a little bit of mail from people, negative and positive to start off with. I always get energized by our mail. And then we have a question from a listener. Wants to know if it's true that all of the Jews will be saved regardless of their sinful condition. I think I can answer that quite easily and powerfully. Just using the Bible. Hey, Daniel Ellsberg, remember the guy that leaked the Pentagon Papers? He says that we now have concentration camps in America and a coup has occurred. A political coup has occurred. We don't really have a free nation anymore, Daniel Ellsberg says. Then there's a congressman under fire for even mentioning that a Jewish lobby group called AIPAC might have powerful connections. Hey, new polls show what teenagers think about things like sex, about the Bible, about Jesus. I'm talking about Christian teenagers, and you might be surprised what they believe. It may not be what you and I believe at all. And if we have time, we'll talk about Rick Warren. You know, they call him America's pastor, and his book on the The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church. There was two different books. And they were huge number one bestsellers. Well, we'll see what he says now about fundamentalists. And if you're a fundamentalist, he's got something to say about you. And you might want to know about that. Hey, a new book out. There's a new book out. It's written by a Jewish man. Jesus in the Talmud. What do the Jews, the rabbis, what do they really believe about Jesus? You know, we offered a book by Michael Hoffman II about the Talmud and what it said, and I've told you before about what the Talmud really says about Jesus, what the Jewish rabbis are taught and teach about Jesus, but keep secret from Gentiles. And a lot of people wrote to me and said, you've got to be out of your mind. They couldn't get by in a free nation with a free press like America, believing in those things. Well, we'll find out, because now we have a Jewish scholar writing for a major publisher who says, hey, let me tell you about what our Talmud, our holy book, says about Jesus. Woo! Oh, hot stuff, friends. You gotta believe it. Hey, Fred Thompson, a lot of people have sort of a romantic crush on the Law and Order actor. They say he's another Ronald Reagan. He should be president of the United States. He just went through the first, Republican debate. How did he do? Well, that, you decide that, but is he really a conservative? And the Pope. Have you ever heard of something called the Order? A secret society called the Order of Malta? Is the Pope somehow connected with that? See how much fun we're going to have today exposing these things. And then finally, I've just got to get to this today. You know, there's always a few things I leave out. I tell you what I'm going to talk about, and then I don't get to it all. We just don't have time, but I got to get to this. FBI secretly control the American Communist Party all the while. The FBI? Control the Communist Party? You mean the Communist Party wasn't controlled from Russia? It was controlled right here in the United States from Washington, D.C.? No. Our government wouldn't have done such a hideous thing. Why? Our government is honest. Our government is upright. It's just... No. You don't say so. Well, we'll talk about it. And maybe you can decide for yourself. This is Secrets, Volume 134. 135, that's right. I lose track. We've had so many. Sanders over there saying 135 text. Okay, thank you. Hey, here's a really beautiful little card. It has a doggie on the cover. I guess this sweet sister, she knows I love dogs. And she says, Dearest text, you truly are a mighty man of valor, and I praise the Lord for your fearlessness. I am the lady, one of the Philadelphia 11, who was arrested back in October 2004 on a hate crimes charge. The sodomite event is coming up again this October. Please pray for the gospel to have free course. Thanks again and again. Yours truly, signed Nancy. Nancy, I just thank you so much. You know, I love people like Nancy. I love, talk about my fearlessness. No. Nancy, you're the fearless one. And these people, by the way, if you don't know about the Philadelphia 11, last year they demonstrated. It was a very peaceful demonstration, wonderful Christian people. They were all arrested. 11 Christians, they were all arrested because they were Christians. They didn't cause a riot. They didn't hurt anybody. They didn't harass anybody. They just got out on the street, out of the traffic, and said, please stop abortion. Please stop killing the babies. They were all arrested. You know why? Well, the district attorney, as it turns out, was given directions by the Jewish ADL to put the wood to these people, put it to them. It was a big concocted persecution of Christians. And they told these Christians, you're guilty of a hate crime just by opposing abortion. Imagine. I'm against the killing of babies. Uh-oh, you're a hater. 45 years in prison. Well, of course, thank God for good lawyers, Christian lawyers. All the charges were eventually dropped. And I'm sure the Jewish ADL are just boiling in water right now. Arr! They wanted to send these people up to 40, 50 years in prison, some incredible amount of time for demonstrating. That's our right, friends, the right to peacefully assemble. I think that's in the Constitution. Now, I know a lot of people don't know what the Constitution is, and President George W. Bush said it's nothing but a, you know what, he used a curse word, piece of paper. You know, a lot of people think it's a piece of toilet paper. That's why I'm going to vote for Ron Paul. He still believes there is such a thing as a U.S. Constitution, and I do too. How about you? And I'm sick and tired of being persecuted for simply living the way our Constitution says that we can live. Well, got a letter from Brother Brian. I don't like to give out last names, you know, because, hey, it may set these people up for persecution. So, B.L., you know who you are, Brian L. He says, hey, dear Tex, there was a brief TV series in the 1960s known as The Prisoner, starring Patrick McGoohan. In the opening episode, Patrick McGoohan, the prisoner, affirms, quote, I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own. And then this gentleman, Brian, asked me, how prophetical is this? He says that the prisoner from the TV series is confined by an organization or an order that keeps him in prison in the village. He is given an ID card, an employment card, a credit card, along with a number, number 6. Everyone in the village is only addressed by their selected numbers. Perhaps the most chilling aspect of this entire series is a sphere that seemingly appears out of nowhere, which monitors and incapacitates offenders, quote unquote, regarding the village rules. This white sphere is mobilized by a control room that continually surveys the village inhabitants and their gestures as well as their intentions. All the inhabitants of the village are held against their will, conditioned with various forms of programming, and ultimately dehumanized, becoming so conditioned that many no longer consider escaping and no longer bother to ask any questions. Then Brian writes to me, says, interestingly, the sphere in this TV series of the 1960s is incredibly similar to the surveillance apparatus utilized by government programs of today. He says in the TV series, number 2, the chief governance character, sits in a type of throne with vivid Masonic Illuminati symbolism. This series attempted to convey more than just entertainment. I feel it wished to also convey a powerful revelation of the future, which it has. Yes, Brian, I remember specifically that TV series in the 60s, The Prisoner. And it's haunted my thoughts for the last 40 years, really. Tremendous insight into the future in that TV series. Okay. Dear Tex, writes Ken, though your treatise, Codex Magica, touches on many subjects and reveals possible nefarious actions and conspiracies on the part of many individuals, I am of the belief that you have seriously misjudged the Hindu religion. Its purposes, practices, and foundation in seeking oneness, not with Satan, but with the same God with whom Jesus was himself yoked. Rather than my going into all the reasons why Hinduism is a religion which seeks the true God, not Satan, as do all bona fide religions, I refer you to the following book, blah, blah, blah. And the book is entitled, by the way, Christ the Yogi. Christ the Yogi, a Hindu reflection on the Gospel of John by Ravi Ravindra, signed Kenneth from Michigan. Hey, Kenneth, look. Thank you for writing, but baloney. Come on. I've studied Hinduism. I've read the Bhagavad Gita. I know about Hinduism. I, in fact, wrote about it in my book, New Age Cults and Religions. Hinduism is pure Babylonianism, and Hindus, and I hope you're not one of them, worship over 3 million gods. All you have to do is go to the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy. I think the first one says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Huh? Of course, the Hindus say, yes, we worship 3 million gods, including the cobra snake goddess Kali. And we set up, excuse my vulgarity, but it's true. I don't want to be profane, but they set up little idols of the male sex organ. stone idols in Hindu temples in India, and women go in there and defile themselves sexually with male sex organs made of stone that are idols. And that's oneness with the true God? Well, yes, it is. If your God's name is Satan. So that's the way I think about it, Ken. You tell me about the sex idols and the women defiling themselves in temples and tell me that's of the true God. And you just try to tell me that the serpent goddess Kali is truly of the Lord Jesus. And I'll have to ask you what kind of weed you've been smoking. Now, I want to be nice, but some people just go way out here on a limb, and then the limb cracks, rock, and down they go. Okay, here's a very interesting question. Dear Texan staff, a few weeks ago I wrote you informing you that according to Marco Polo, Baghdad is actually Babylon. Based on what you have said about the United States building a huge embassy complex there, now I am wondering if they are planning to use Baghdad as a headquarters for the new one world government they are setting up. That is most likely why they refuse to leave Iraq. And then my good friend writing this letter, Joan, thank you, Joan, for the letter. She goes on to talk about what God said about Mystery Babylon. And Joan, you are right on target. Now, I want to clarify something. The Bible shows very clearly that Jerusalem, that is physical Jerusalem, not the new Jerusalem in heaven, but Jerusalem, that earthly city in the Middle East, is going to be Mystery Babylon. Of course, Jerusalem is now spread throughout the world because the Jews are spread throughout the globe. And so they have their tentacles, these Zionist Jews, on all the leading world governments, the United States, Britain, France, and so forth. So really, Mystery Babylon is global-wide, but it's still based in Jerusalem. And this is the reason for the founding of Israel in 1948 and the Zionist campaign to control the world's oil spigots and the wars in the Middle East and the suppression of the Palestinian people and the takeover of more and more land being gobbled up by the Zionist Jews and the foundation of a socialist communist government, first in Tel Aviv and now in Jerusalem. And then finally, the use of the United States as a proxy military power, a superpower, to go in and kill off. Now they say that there are as many 2 million victims dead. 2 million dead in Iraq. Wow. Haven't we done a number on those people? All because of the Zionist Jewish doctrine. But listen to me very carefully. I believe that Jerusalem itself is going to be the world capital of the New World Order. But I believe they will have a co-seated capital. Because they have, for centuries, the Zionists hungered after, lusted after Babylon. Now, you're right. Baghdad is, in fact, Sumeria, is part of Sumeria, part of the greater Babylonian Empire. There is a city of Babylon. It's now in ruins. Saddam tried to restore some of it, and some of it's sort of like tourist sites. He did rebuild a few buildings and all of that other stuff. But basically, it is Babylon. And yes, this United States embassy that we're spending $1 billion or more on, it's going to be the biggest United States embassy in the world. And they're actually, you know, in my newsletter, I had a picture of a Zionist American rabbi sitting on the golden throne of Saddam Hussein. We put a Zionist Jewish rabbi on the throne of Saddam Hussein. You say, no, wait just a minute. The prime minister of Iraq is a Muslim. His name is Maliki, and he's not Jewish. Did I say prime minister? Prime ministers are just order takers. Hey, two hamburgers and French fries, Maliki. That's all. A Jewish rabbi was pictured in my newsletter sitting on the throne of Baghdad. And now they're building this gigantic governmental apparatus complex. And the Jewish Israeli Mossad spy agency will be headquartered there. And Jews will run the oil empire of the world from Babylon. That's right. But the spiritual empire will be run from Jerusalem. That's where the Antichrist is going to go into the temple, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, and declare that he's God. So, boy, Joan, you're on target here. So we have two seats of power of the beast, Babylon and Jerusalem. Mystery Babylon, a combination. And, of course, Zionist Jews around the world are part of this great plot, whether they know it or not. Some of them are unwitting victims. Let's pray for those who are unwitting that they'll come to know the truth of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26, and I believe it's, 26, 27? I hope I'm right there. It's the last two verses in Galatians 3. So read those and you'll see what I'm saying. I believe it's 25 and 26, actually. But listen to what it says in verse 26. It says, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Verse 25, the verse right before it, said it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Now, listen to me, because one of the letter writers here, and I'm not going to have time to get to it, he asked me this question. Isn't it true, Tex, that in the New Testament, Paul said, quote, "And so all Israel will be saved"? Doesn't that mean that all Jews will be saved? You've got to understand something. There's two Israels. There's the Israel of God, and then there's the physical Israel that is under the dominion of Satan. Don't you get it? Do never confuse the spiritual Israel with the physical Israel. You get all mixed up. That's like confusing and saying, see there, church over there? That's where God is. God is not in some church building. In fact, the Bible says that God has a temple made without human hands. He doesn't need any habitat built by Freemasons and carpenters from the United States or Russia or anywhere. He builds his own dominion. And you're translated into that very kingdom of God when you come to know Jesus. Of course, there's an Israel over there. And there are Jews over there that despise our Lord Jesus Christ, but they're not going to heaven, no, unless they repent. Because Jesus said, "I'm taking the kingdom from you," he told the Jews, "and giving it to another nation that will bear fruit." What? Jesus said that? Oh, yes. Read it in the Gospels. "I am taking the kingdom from you," he told the Jews, "and giving it to another nation." What nation is that? Well, it's spiritual Israel, the Israel of God. And God is no respecter of persons. Who can be citizens of this Israel of God? Jews, Gentiles. It doesn't matter. It's not race, it's grace that counts. It's not your DNA, it's not your bloodline. It's this question answered: who is your God? Whom will you serve? Bob Dylan became a Christian, the famous singer, some years ago. I pray that he's still on the right path. I don't know for sure. But I do remember one of the greatest songs that he ever sang was basically, "You gotta serve someone." It could be the Lord or it could be the devil, but you gotta serve someone, says Bob Dylan. Bob, you're right. And let me tell you something. Everyone who serves Jesus Christ is of Abraham's seed and is an heir to the promises given Abraham. Did I make that up? No, Paul said it in Galatians 3, verse 26. Read it for yourself. You'll be amazed at what you can read in the Bible that the evangelical teachers either don't know or are too frightened to tell you. "And so all Israel will be saved." That's taken out of context, but it's still powerful in itself. All of Israel. In other words, not just the Jews, but Gentiles too. Because God, Paul says, has broken down the partition that separated the two. Salvation is of the Jews. That's what the Bible says. That is absolutely true. And salvation was offered first to the Jews. But most of them said, "We will not have this man Jesus to rule over us." That's what the Gospels say. Most of the Jews said, "No, we don't want him. Crucify him." But there was some, Oh, praise God, there was some. We know their names. Read them. Read those names. Paul was one of them, of course. Peter was one of them. They said, we will, Lord. We will follow you. We will follow the Lamb. And you know what? In heaven, they're not going to be Jews anymore. They're going to have a new body. I don't know what it's going to be like. Paul said, we don't know what it's going to be like, but we know we'll be like him. We'll be somehow the same substance, the same essence. We won't be God, but we will be like him. Man, I'm ready for that. This old body is corrupt. It's dying. It's decaying every day. Look, I'm still handsome. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. My wife says so. Maybe other people don't, but Wanda, she says, hey, Tex, you're still handsome. I think she just fibs to me, but, you know, I think God will forgive her. She, you know, she's sweet. She's kind. The thing is, I tell Wanda she's beautiful. I really mean it. I really do. I mean, she is a lovely gal. But when she tells me I'm still handsome, well, I go along with the fiction, you know. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Oh, man. Oh, these gals. Absolutely. I like to quote old Gabby Hayes back in one of those Roy Rogers movies. Roy was all confused because Del Evans, you know, spurned him for a little bit. Maybe just for 10 minutes of the movie, she spurned him. Remember her cowgirl, Del Evans? Later they married her and famous cowboy Roy Rogers. And old Gabby Hayes was the old guy, you know, the old, it's the funny old guy. Had the big old, you know, whiskers and all, and he talked sort of funny. He said, you just don't understand women, Roy. He says, well, tell me about it, Gabby. He says, well, there's two things a man has to understand about a woman. He says, well, what are they? He said, well, nobody knows them. Nobody knows them, says Gabby. Well, okay. I'm not going to comment anymore. I'm already in trouble up to my neck, Sandra. What do you think? You know, I always get in trouble here on Power of Prophecy. Okay, here's a. I'm gonna stop the letters today. I love reading letters, but I just don't have time. We got to get in a lot of this stuff here, and there's so much. Hey, Daniel Ellsberg, remember the guy worked in the Pentagon, and he leaked the Pentagon Papers, and America found out for the first time that our presidents from the days of Eisenhower all the way up through LBJ and Nixon have been lying to us about Vietnam, and of course that catapulted us into a series of events, and we finally got out of Vietnam. Of course, what we need to have today is a leak of the Iraqi papers, but that probably won't ever happen, because now we have Vicious Big Brother at the top, old Georgie boy, and then we'll have Big Sister Hillary in there before long. Talk about a liar, then you'll really get the works when she takes over. But Daniel Ellsberg gave a speech recently. He says, a coup has occurred. Wow. I read the whole speech. I wish you had timed about it. But Ellsberg says, yes, we have concentration camps in America, and another 9/11 will catapult us fully into Big Brother's grimy hands. I'm using those words, grimy hands, but that's basically what he says. A coup has occurred. We don't really own America anymore. They do. Who are they? Well, that gets us to the next item. Listen to this. Congressman under fire for mentioning AIPAC. That's the American Israel Political Action Committee. Known as the most powerful lobby group in America. They are Zionists all the way. They are Jews. They are spies. And a congressman is in trouble for even mentioning that they exist. We're going to talk about that and much more when we return. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars, and my wife says I'm handsome. And I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello again, dear friends. You know, I just recently had a very precious lady on this program and introduced you to her. And she's written a book, and man, I've got this book. It's over 300 pages. It's called The Book of Eden, excuse me, let me get this right now. Eden, E-D-E-N, you know, like in the Garden of Eden. Eden, the knowledge of good and evil. Now, don't think that this is just a book that just takes the book of Genesis, you know, the story of Adam and Eve and the serpent in the garden, and, you know, puts a little bit of a narrative to the tale. Oh, no. That's only the beginning. This book is one of the best exposures of the Illuminati conspiracy that existed since the days of Adam and Eve I've ever seen. It starts with Adam and Eve, but it takes you through Cain, who, by the way, was a builder of cities, according to the Bible, all the way to the Tower of Babel and then on, man, I mean, it takes us right to today. And she exposes Illuminati architecture. Like, you know, in Washington, D.C., Illuminati architecture. Wow, this is a great, great book. I believe it's one of the best prophecy books I've read in well, over a couple of decades. Now, if you've been fed all the nonsense and, you know, Hal Lindsey's books and Tim LaHaye's book, you need something to cure your mind, something scriptural. And I believe that is the incredible new book called Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil. It's a prophecy book about the Illuminati. And boy, Dr. Joy Jeffries Pugh, that's spelled P-U-G-H. P-U-G-H. I don't know why it's not pug, but it's just not, okay? I guess it's French or something, you know, one of those. It should be pug, shouldn't it, Sandra? P-U-G-H? Dr. Joy, no? You think it should be Pew? How do you pronounce it? Pew. See there? Now, I thought you were making fun. She was smiling while I was talking. Sandra Myers is my producer here, and Sandra's been with us about 15 years ago, and she humors me a lot of times. Now, what are you smiling about? Hey, by the way, sitting on her lap right now is Prissy, our cat. And somehow she got into our studio room here. She's like, we don't let her out now because we don't open the door, so we won't be bothered with noise or something. So she's, the cat's in here with us. By the way, she sleeps in my office at night. We have a little box over there at the window for her. We found her outside, didn't we, Sandra? Remember that? And she was a little kitten. And Juan and I came to work that day, and we were coming the back way, and we looked, and hiding under the building was this, it was very cold, shivery day, and she was all wet. She was just shivering under the building. I said, look at that cute little cat. I bet it's a wildcat, that poor little thing. Let's get it out and feed it some milk, you know. Wanda said, no, don't do that, because then it'll never leave. Well, you know, I couldn't bear to see that poor little kitty. So I reached under there, and man, she tried to take off my hand. So I left her under there, and then I went and got a little, you know, a saucer of milk, and I put on our little back porch, and she very slowly and reluctantly came and drank that milk. And, of course, you know, Wanda was absolutely right. She became attached to us. We became attached to her, and, well, that's the rest of the story. She's our ministry cat, and she's totally spoiled. I mean, I wish I could be spoiled that way. This cat gets everything. Everybody pets it. Everybody has treats in their desk and everything, and, oh, it's sickening. Prissy is spoiled. Sandra's over there. She's supposed to be watching. Sandra, you're supposed to be watching all the knobs and everything over there, and all the electrics. Instead, you're petting the cat. And sometimes the cat, you know, I'll be speaking, jumping, you know, talking. She'll just jump up on there and mess up all the sound system. Oh. Well, anyway, okay. So what were you laughing about? What is?
Laugh.
Oh, laugh. Yeah, that's true. That's why. Yeah, why didn't it what? Or log or something. That's true. English is a strange language. English is really a strange. I wonder what language we're going to speak in heaven. Nobody really knows. Some pure language, the Bible says. There's no man, no language invented by men, and that every language has been. All the tongues of men are all, you know, polluted. So we're going to have a pure language. Probably won't have any dirty words in it. Or any words that are even, you know, innuendo or colored as bad. Yeah, that'd be nice too, wouldn't it? Yeah. Okay. Dr. Joy, J-O-Y-E. And this is strange. Who would spell her name J-O-Y-E? That's as bad as T-E-X-E. I mean, who puts an E on the end of their name except me and Joy? Okay. Joy Jeffries Pugh. Hey, here's the book. It costs $30, but that's because it's a big book. Small print has a lot of stuff in it. Okay. $30 for this book. Please add $4 shipping and handling. Now I know that's a lot, $34, but it's really like two books in one. It's that big. Okay. Joy, Dr. Joy Jeffries Pugh. Just ask for the Pugh book. Okay. Joy, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that if you're listening to this program today. She is a sweet lady and very knowledgeable. Joy Jeffries Pugh. And her, P-U-G-H, and her book, Eden, The Knowledge of Good and Evil. It all started in the garden. Let's return to our regular program. We're talking today about Secrets, Volume 135. I told you I'd tell you about the congressman under fire for even mentioning AIPAC. How dare him? How dare him? Well, here's the problem. According to the Washington Post, Amy Gartner reporting, she says that representative, that is Congressman James P. Moran Jr., Democrat of Virginia, has once again come under fire from Jewish organizations for remarking in a magazine interview that, quote, quote, the extraordinarily powerful pro-Israel lobby played a strong role promoting the war in Iraq. In an interview with Tikkun, a California-based Jewish magazine, Moran said the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC, is the most powerful lobby and has pushed this war from the beginning. Most of the members of this group, he said, are wealthy, and they have been able to exert power. Well, of course, all these Jewish organizations and bigwigs came out of the woodwork. Well, Representative Jim Moran, let me tell you, you're going to have opposition in the next election, and they're going to do everything they can to destroy you, pal. But thank God for you for telling the truth. Hey, George Borna is a pollster. He's a Christian pollster. He takes polls and surveys. And in his new book called Third Millennium Teens, he reports the attitude of teenagers today. Christian teenagers. Well, they believe in the Bible. They believe in Jesus. They believe he's the only way to salvation. Don't they? No, they don't. According to Borna, his poll showed that 63%, now get that into your minds, friends. Oh my. 63% of Christian teens said that they believe that Muslims, Buddhists, Christians, and Jews pray to the same God. Two-thirds, 63%, believe that if you're a Buddhist, if you're a Muslim, you're a Christian, you're a Jew, you pray to the same God. Well, first of all, this is stupidity because Buddhists don't even believe in a God. They believe in an energy force. They don't even believe in a personal God. Oh, my. And as far as Jews, you'll find out in just a moment, we're going to talk about what the Jews believe about Jesus. And since what they believe about Jesus is horrible to the extreme, obviously they don't pray to Jesus. So how can they be praying to the same God? Sick, sick teenagers. Who made them that way? They didn't just get sick. They didn't just get stupid. They didn't just get ignorant overnight. No, it's a process, and their parents are to blame. Parents are to blame. And then the media also should shoulder a lot of the blame. Evidently, people never read the Bible anymore. If they did, here's one verse. What does it say? The Apostle John wrote it. 2 John chapter 1, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. But if you do, you have the Father and the Son. Jesus said that he is the only way. So how can you pray to Buddha? What good is he? He's just a dead man. There was a Buddha. He lived. He died. Some 600 years after Christ Jesus came to this earth, Gautama Buddha came in India. and he established a sort of a denomination or a sect of Hinduism called Buddhism. Pray to Buddha? He's a dead man, and he's in hell besides. How do I know? Because he didn't believe in the one true faith. And I'm probably speaking to the choir, which is my good friends out there, you who know the truth. Help these teenagers. Help them out. By the way, they're going to think you're just an old fuddy-duddy, a crazy, one of those fundamentalists. And guess what? Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church out in California, the big wig of the Council on Foreign Relations, he's a member of that group now. Guess what he said January 8, 2006 in the newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer. He was interviewed by Larry King and by others. And here's what the Philadelphia Inquirer says about him. Quote, now again, this is Rick Warren. They're talking about him. Warren predicts that fundamentalism of all varieties will be, quote, one of the big enemies of the 21st century. Muslim fundamentalism, Christian fundamentalism, motivated by fear, says Rick Warren. Then he says this, listen to this. At the Aspen, Colorado Ideas Festival, oh, what an idea that was, in July 2005, Rick Warren, referred to Christian fundamentalists as a vanishing breed. He said, quote, I could count the number of true fundamentalists on a couple of hands today. There really aren't that many left. Evangelicals are those who would say we believe in a personal relationship to God. They're Catholic evangelicals. They're evangelicals in every denomination. Well, that's true. Now, fundamentalists, he said, are the enemy of the people. Now, you know, I know that there's fundamentalists who are really into legalism and, well, you know, a fundamentalist can be a danger. But only if they don't believe in the fundamentals. Of course, how can a fundamentalist not believe in the fundamentals? I believe in the fundamentals, so I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a fundamentalist. Now, what are those fundamentals? Now, I want you to judge for yourself. Are you a fundamentalist? Could it be you're one of those bigoted, racist, anti-Semites that Rick Warren said is the enemy of the people? Could it be you're one of them too? You know, you just might be. Now, here's the test. Do you believe and the inerrancy and full authority of the Bible, then you just might be a fundamentalist. Do you believe in the virgin birth and the full deity of Jesus Christ? Then you could be a fundamentalist. Is it possible that you believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead? Then you might be a fundamentalist. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died and atoned for the sins of the world? Then you are probably a fundamentalist. And finally, number five. These are all the fundamentals of the faith now. Is it just likely that you also believe that Jesus Christ is going to come again? Yes, you're a fundamentalist. Let's face it. Don't try to escape your destiny. You're one of the enemies of the people in the 21st century. You know what the strange thing is here? You see, I perceive a true fundamentalist as a man or woman of compassion. A man or a woman, or even a young person, who loves Christ and loves other people. After all, John said in the Bible, God is love. And people who don't have love in their hearts don't have God. Did you get that? That's one of the greatest definitions of God I've ever heard. God is love. Paul said, the Apostle Paul says that the greatest thing of all is love. Love. Of course, there's a lot of kind of love, and I suppose some of you out there may be thinking, oh, sex. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a kindness. I'm talking about a a genuine concern and caring for other people. You know, Jesus talked about the greatest commandment is to love God. And then the second commandment of greatness is to love others as you love yourself. Wow. You see, you don't even come in second in Jesus' estimation. It's a holy tie for second. You should love others as much as you love yourself. Do unto others. The golden rule. Well, that's what I see as being fundamental as a Christian. No Christian can hate. There's no such thing as a hating Christian. There's no such thing as a racist Christian. There's no such thing as an anti-Semite Christian. There's no Christian who gets drunk and harms others. There's no Christian that destroys people's lives. They're just not there. You say, oh, well, Tex, you haven't studied history. I can show you the Catholic Inquisition. I can show you, shut up. You can't show me anything. All you're doing is demonstrating that there have been people out there that claimed they were Christian, that pretended to be Christian, but the Bible says that on Judgment Day, God, that is Christ Jesus sitting on the throne, is going to call in every person and judge them, and then he's going to say, well, you who are of the devil, depart from me. You're a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And you know, the Bible says many will say in that day, Lord, why, of course you know me. Look at all the things I did in your name. And he will say, I never knew you. A lot of fakers, a lot of pretenders, a lot of hoaxers. And you know, that's pretty good for, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. But then comes payday. In the book of Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, it says, it is appointed for a man once to die, afterwards the judgment. Reincarnation is, say, you're born over and over and over again till you get it right, till all your karma balances out. Well, but the Bible simply says everybody's going to die one time, and then afterwards the judgment. Pretend all you want, friends. Put all the icing on the cake and say it's chocolate when really it's not. It's some other flavor. It's not of God. Now, here's something you need to understand. A lot of people say, well, all the Jews are holy. All the Jews love Jesus. They have to. He was their Messiah. Huh? What does the Jewish Talmud, their holy book, now I'm serious in telling you this, the Talmud is considered greater than the Old Testament by the Jewish rabbis. In fact, in the Talmud, it says that when God needs advice, he goes to the Jewish rabbis for advice. Did you get that? Who does God go to when he needs counsel and advice? Well, he goes to Jewish rabbis, to the learned sages of Judaism. I know I'm laughing too, but that shows you how evil and crazy and just sordid the Jewish Talmud is. But listen to this. There's a new book out called Jesus in the Talmud. Did you know that the Jewish holy book mentions Jesus? Oh, they often don't mention his name. They have code words for it. But Jesus is found in the Talmud. How do I know? Well, it's in a new book. Of course, I've read the Talmud. I would know that, but maybe you don't. But a man named Peter Schaefer, a Jew, has written a new book. I want to read you this article from Publishers Weekly. It's the number one publication. Goes out to all the book publishers in America and the world, practically all the bookstores and their owners in the United States and even overseas get the magazine Publishers Weekly. I used to subscribe to it, in fact. Let me read this to you. And it's written, by the way, by a Jewish man. The article is written by David Klinghoffer. And it's published in Publishers Weekly, January 31, 2007. And I'm going to read to you verbatim. It says, will Peter Schaeffer's new book, Jesus in the Talmud, be controversial? I'm afraid so, author Schaeffer told Religious Book Line. That's why I'm nervous. His editor at Princeton University Press, Brigitte van Rijnberg, another Jew, laughed but agreed. You think, oh, whoa, this is not going to go over well in certain circles, she says. Schaeffer, who heads up, in other words, he's the professor in charge, who heads up Princeton's Judaic Studies program, has collected and analyzed all the passages in the Talmud that refer to the founder of Christianity, texts that were previously censored from Talmud editions for centuries. And in this book, he argues that the scandalous passages indeed refer to the famous Jesus of Nazareth. What exactly is so scandalous? I'm going to stop right there. Let's look at this. Professor Peter Schaeffer, head of the Department of Judaic Studies at the prestigious Ivy League school, Princeton University, has written a book called Jesus in the Talmud, and many are saying it's scandalous because it's true. And David Klinghoffer is writing this article, and it turns out that his editor at Princeton University Press, Brigitte van Rijnberg, also Jewish, and she laughs. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be controversial. But why? Well, what exactly is so scandalous? I'm going to read it to you verbatim. Now listen to this. Quote, this is all in the Talmud. It's all outlined now, and it's out in the open. They've got the courage now to tell you to your face before they would lie. When people like Tex Mars would say, here's what the Talmud really says, Jews would come out of the woodwork and say, you horrible anti-Semite. That's not true. Our holy Talmud doesn't say that. You're such a racist bigot, Tex Mars. Now they say it themselves. They have taken over America. They control the media. They control the presidency. They control the Pentagon. They control the movies in Hollywood. They control our television sets. So now they say, ha ha, we're going to blatantly put it in your face. And what can you do about it, you bunch of Christian jerks? That's what they're saying. What exactly is so scandalous? Well, says Professor Schaeffer, quote, how about Jesus punished in hell for eternity by being made to sit in a cauldron of boiling excrement? That image appears in the Talmud, as does a brief account of Jesus' trial and execution, not by the Romans, but by the Jewish high court, the Sanhedrin. Remember when Mel Gibson came out with his movie, The Passion of Christ? And remember old Abraham Foxman of the Jewish ADL? How dare you, Mel Gibson? You horrible anti-Semite. Why, the Jews didn't kill Jesus. We didn't try and persecute him. It was the Romans. And of course, there's no Roman Empire today, and that's nice and safe. Yeah, it was the Romans. That's like saying it was the Venetians or the Martians, wouldn't it, we Jews? No! But their own Talmud brags about how they persecuted Jesus, how they tried him in their own holy court, the Sanhedrin, and how they put him to death. That's in the Jewish Talmud. They brag, yeah, we killed Jesus, and that so-and-so deserves it. He deserved it. And where is he at today? Where is this Jesus? He's not in heaven. He's in hell, says the Talmud, and he's sitting, suffering in a cauldron of boiling excrement. And I think you know what excrement is. It's a big word, but you know it. By the way, Schaeffer is not exposing the Talmud as a bad thing. In fact, in his book, he calls the Talmud, rabbinic literature, quote, my first love. And listen to what this article says, written also by a Jew, in Religious Book Line, published in Publishers Weekly, the number one magazine for publishers in the whole world and for the book publishing industry. And it says here, quote, Schaeffer has now definitively let the cat out of the bag. Wow, they just tell it like it is. Schaefer has now let the cat out of the bag. It seems fair to say now, and I'm reading this, I'm reading what they say. It seems fair to say now that the Talmud is every bit as offensive to Christians as the Gospels are to Jews. The Talmud's portrait of Jesus unapologetically mocks Christian doctrines, including the virgin birth and the resurrection. Wow. And the author, Schaefer, calls the Talmud's assault on Christian claims, quote, devastating. I certainly don't want to harm Jewish-Christian dialogue, says Schaefer. God forbid. But, he adds, dialogue requires honesty, and I'm trying to be honest. What he's saying is, Jews for centuries have lied to Christians. Why, no, our holy book, the Talmud, doesn't even mention Jesus. Why, goodness, no, it's a goody-goody two-shoes piece of literature. Schaefer says, those guys are a bunch of liars. Of course the Talmud says horrible things about Jesus. And Schaefer says, I believe the Talmud. I don't believe in Jesus either. And it's time we told the truth. Well, I can give him credit for one thing, for telling the truth, which is that Jews hate Jesus. And they call his mother a whore in their Talmud and Jesus a bastard burning in hell. And now it's the cat is out of the bag. Now I want to talk to you Zionist evangelicals today. By the way, I don't have time for the other thing I wish I did about the FBI secretly controlling the American Communist Party. How about Fred Thompson? And he's not a conservative. In fact, he was a lobbyist for an abortion group. I wish I had. And then, of course, the Knights of Malta, the secret Catholic order. Wish I had more time. But I want to end with this statement, or this quote from the Bible, because you see, so many people believe that Christians and Jews are cut out of the same cloth. They believe that the Jews in their Talmud must surely praise Christian doctrine. Oh, they're deceived. And I'm talking about the James Dobsons and the Pat Robertsons and all the other John Hagees. I mean, the list of these people, Southern Baptist and Pentecostal and Assembly, have got all of them on and on and on. So confused. What does the Bible say about our associating spiritually with Jews, or Buddhists, or Muslims, or Hindus? Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Ephesians 5 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's why Power of Prophecy Ministries, we have no fellowship with Jewish groups, with the synagogue of Satan, with the Jewish rabbis. We reprove, that is, expose and unmask them. And why do we do it? Ephesians 5:11. Oh, dear friends, listen to me. If you love people, tell them the truth. Hey, Dr. Peter Schaefer told the truth in his new book, Jesus in the Talmud. I'm grateful that he did. And now I'm praying that he'll go one step further in the truth and believe in the true Messiah of Jews and Gentiles, and his name, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Well, it's been great being with you today, and my fervent prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.